Do you want to feel alive?
Hey everyone, welcome back. I'm Whiskey.
And I'm Charlie.
And this is Whiskey and Charlie.
On the bricks.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Whiskey and Charlie.
Hey hey.
And this is our 30th episode.
Yay!
So it's been kind of an interesting journey to get here, and
yeah,
you know, we're happy to be here.
Right.
So for today, we wanted to go have kind of a special episode. Everybody's favorite topic.
Finance.
Financial stress.
Financial stress. We can't talk finance because we...
Well, we're terrible at
financing. That'd be blind leading the blind, yeah. Right?
So,
but we know how to deal with... Well,
we have in our marriage, our lives, dealt with our fair amount of financial stress. Who doesn't? But yeah. I don't think we've ever been destitute or had a severe like spending or you know, resource problem. But you know, we're I think probably like everybody else, we've had to make you know, decisions and sacrifices and things like that. And so
made mistakes and
you know, there have been times where there have been times where we've, you know, made a purchase and had an we shouldn't have done that moment. But you know, overall I'd say we're generally intelligent about finances.
I think we know the brass tacks, though. We know the basics. We know the gist of it and what we're supposed to do and what we're not supposed to do. It's whether or not we abide.
Yeah. And this isn't
the rules.
A general finance strategy. You know, we don't want to come across as like, here's how you better yourself financially.
No, go to other people for
that. If we knew that, we would be selling you that product rather than having a podcast.
Exactly. We wouldn't have to do a podcast.
So what we'd really like to focus on is stress around finances.
Yeah, kind of how to navigate it, how to relieve it, how to avoid it, how to...
Because I think, you know, I think anybody listening could probably say, oh, yeah, I stress about finances.
I think especially like this last year and continuing on, it's definitely hitting a lot of people that maybe it never affected before.
Well, and if you've lost a job, if you've had, you know, economy downturn, if you've
medical bills,
lost 10% of your wages because of the economic downturn.
Right.
If you've had medical bills because of illness, if you've, you know, if you've just lost clientele, maybe you're, you know, independent and you've lost clientele. There are plenty of things that have happened in the last, you know, what, 14 months that have been, that could have at any point been catastrophic to somebody's livelihood.
Exactly. And we're all kind of going through, well, at least here in America, I can't speak for other countries, but we're all going through some crap.
Yeah. You know, and we've recently found out, you know, friends and family members that have lost their jobs within this last year. And so it's a trying experience for everybody.
It really is.
You know, without income, obviously, you have stresses of house payment and car payments and utility payments and food and so
medical.
Yeah. So, you know, there's a, I think just a general strategy of how Whiskey and I have adapted or dealt with financial situations. This probably won't be comprehensive by any means. Because in our traditional fashion, we did researched in the last 4 minutes on our telephones. So, but we, you know, we've got experience. And so
we've life experience.
Yeah,
we've been there.
We've kind of found this, you know, coping with financial stress and, you know, and understanding what it is. You know, approximately 72% of Americans, according to the American Psychological Association, feel stressed about money at least some of the time.
Yeah, at least once or twice in your life. I think it's unnatural.
One, I think it's important
to not worry about it.
I think it's important to note that you, whoever you are listening, are probably, most definitely, not the only person stressing about finances.
Oh, no. We're all in this together.
Yeah. And so to beat yourself up over, you know, making a mistake or budgeting incorrectly or, you know, you needed to buy milk instead of, I don't know, cheese or whatever the thing. Like,
oh,
instead,
I remember those days.
If you've had to make those decisions, you're definitely not the only person. Mm-mm. You know, the American economic system and the world economic system is definitely not built to, you know, to make everyday people financially stress free, you know, like it's just, that's not how this system works.
No.
And not to get into, I guess, too much about capitalism and all that, but the point just is that if you're a regular everyday, you know, person, working wage type person, you probably have some reason to stress over money.
Do you think the Queen's ever stressed about money?
I don't think the Queen really even understands what money is.
I'm sure she does.
She probably just knows it's paper with her face on it. Do you think she's ever had to want for anything?
That's what money, I'm saying. Do you think ever had to worry about like the crown losing its value?
Yeah, maybe, but
I don't know. That's a curious thought. And obviously, she thinks about it because otherwise she wouldn't have sat on the throne as long as she's been sitting on that throne.
Well,
that woman's smart.
I think the reality is that so much of her wealth is tied up in
other things.
Yeah. It's not, she's just not like cash rich, you know. She's not in Vegas, you know, making it rain. She owns land holdings, and I mean,
she's old money. It's different.
Yeah.
It's
so different. They want something. They get something, you know.
It just makes you wonder though, if, like, even somebody like the Queen or like Warren Buffett.
Yeah. Well, and I think, again, the value of money to them is different.
Yeah.
It's, to them, it's a resource for just, you know, as needed, you know, like, I guess the equivalent of us with water, right? But for us, most people, money is a leverage to, you know, either better yourself or...
It's a lifeline.
You know, or to even stay afloat, you know.
It's
but
a lifeline for us.
If, you know, the Queen, for instance, if she didn't have money in her pocket, she still has food available, you
right,
know.
Right, she still has land.
She doesn't suffer because she doesn't have.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the difference is, you know, if the person down the street suffer or doesn't have money in their bank account, they
are suffering,
or they're going to die, you know.
They're not going to die. Hopefully they don't die. You know. But no, they're sad. They're actually suffering mentally and physically.
Yeah.
Physically from
We've kind of side-railed there.
I do that. I'm sorry. I'm guilty of that. It just makes me wonder because I'm one of those that I claim to have financial PTSD. And I'm not making fun of PTSD in any way, shape, or form. But I do. I have financial stress probably 24/7. And I had a friend ask me, why do you think you have that? And I said, I don't know. We could have $1 million in our bank account and I would still be worried.
Yeah.
I just can't I can't stop worrying about money.
Yep. And I think that's, you know, while there's probably varying levels of people who stress over money for, you know, just day-to-day things or some people who stress over, you know, maybe they're tied up in stocks and they lose all their money, stuff like that,
that
you
would
know.
Scare me. Stock market scares the crap out of me.
But, you know, financial stress can have an effect on your health.
Mm-hmm.
Insomnia. How many times have you stayed up?
Oh, my gosh.
Countless. Not able to sleep because you've been stressed.
Oh, when you lost your job? Yeah, I didn't sleep.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't.
So
it was horrible.
You know, weight gain or loss. Stress, you know, can disrupt your appetite. So causing you to be anxious, overeat, skip meals, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Depression.
Mm-hmm. Check. I'm just going to go check.
Anxiety. So check. Obviously, if you don't have money, is a safety net, right? If you don't have that safety net, you're going to feel afraid of,
right?
You know,
it's can
I keep my house? Can I
afford
fuel
rent
in my
car?
You know?
Can I feed my kids? Are my kids going to be okay?
Yep. Can I can I put gas in my car so I can go to this interview or whatever,
right.
You know?
It's, yeah.
And so relationship difficulties, it can definitely be a massive wedge into a relationship.
There's a high number of divorce rates caused from financial disputes or financial instability or whatever it be.
And, you know, and that's the thing is, so money can become such a divisive part of a relationship, especially if things are happening with money that the other partner doesn't know about.
Right.
You know?
That's the thing, is I like to know. I want to know everything. And I know I have a friend, family member, who her and her husband, when they're actually doing very well. Okay, mm-hmm. they're very well, but they weren't always doing very well.
Yeah.
And she said, unless it, if it was over $50, then they discuss it back then. But now where they're at, it's, I think she said it was like $1,000 or a couple $1,000s. If it's within that range, they don't talk to each other about it. But if it's anything over that, they had to talk to each other.
Yeah.
But I thought that was great that they knew and they saw their finances and went, okay, well, this, it won't affect us. It won't hurt us if you spend that much and don't ask me first.
Right.
You know, but whereas me and you, I'm like, hey, can I go get a soda?
I'm usually just like, I don't care.
I know. No, we're not to the point where we can't get sodas, but do you know what I mean? I ask you about the dumbest, littlest things because I want to
want you to know what I'm doing. Even though we both have access to our bank accounts and we can both check and track. And, you know, I think we both work on parts of the budget together, you know, so some bills, you know, we always discuss like what bills are being paid and, and it's just become a habit for us to share openly with each other, like, hey, I'm stopping to grab this from the gas station, or hey, I've got to fill up my gas tank, so if you need to go to the store, just you know, money's been taken out, stuff like that.
And I kind of do that because you have taken over paying bills for a while, whereas I used to pay the bills, and I just don't know if you've planned for something to come out, like a bill to come out. So that's why I'm always like, hey, I'm gonna do this, is that okay? I'm not gonna mess anything up. And same with you, like if I have a bill coming out, you know, it's just I like to be aware we have that conversation.
And this just goes back to the overarching principle of
communication,
you know. And so, you know, the more you discuss, the more you communicate, the better both parties are, you know.
Oh yeah.
And so social withdrawal is an effect. Obviously, if you don't have money, you don't want to be around, you know, you can't go out, but you don't want to be around people if you're stressed about, you know, going out to a restaurant with a friend and, you know, if I can't afford my own meal, I don't want to seem like they have to pay for me.
Well, and I've been there in certain situations where you don't want to tell somebody your financial situation, you know, and they invite you out for lunch, like, oh, let's go get a lunch or something. And you're like, I can't, I'm sick. Or, oh, the kids, you know, I've done that many times.
So physical ailments, headaches, stomach problems, high blood pressure, you know, heart disease can be, you know.
Now, stress can lead to a number of things. Stress can kill you. It literally can kill you.
And unhealthy coping mechanisms. So drinking, abusing prescriptions, drugs, gambling, you know, irrational spending habits. So, you know, you may be coping with financial stress by spending the money you have.
And see, that kind of, I call it my anxiety shopping.
Yeah.
Because I will do that.
And people do. Mm-hmm. Many people do.
I have done that. And luckily, you've allotted me a certain number of money a month that I can go and just, you don't even question me on.
We have money we just set aside so that, you know, that's free, basically spending money that can just be used as needed.
Yeah,
right?
And that's usually my anxiety. Like, I buy it for my crafts and my projects and stuff like that. But it's funny because I took Echo with me to the store and I said, okay, we're anxiety shopping. I'm like, sure, that's cute. Let's get that.
So obviously, with that all being said, if you have unhealthy coping methods,
mechanisms
that are tied to financial stress, you should probably seek out, you know, medical
professional help
advice.
Yeah.
You know, suicide is a pretty common issue with financial stress. And, you know, if you're feeling suicidal or you're just extremely unhappy or extremely distressed about finances, then you should reach out to somebody.
Please
do.
Yeah, because it's serious. It's scary. And we live in a world where, unfortunately, money rules the world.
Yeah.
Right?
Absolutely.
It's not happiness. It's not freedoms. It's money. Nope.
You can say all the things that you want with freedom of speech and freedom to do these and freedom. But if you don't have money, all of it's pointless.
Yep.
I mean, really.
And it's sad. It really is sad because that's not the type of world I want to live in.
Yep.
You know, but it is what it is.
Yeah. But at least that's the current state that most of us have to deal with. So.
Yeah.
So, you know, there is kind of a cycle
you go through cycles where you dip low, right? And then you're like, okay, I'm going to better myself. But then all of a sudden you're like, ooh, that nasty habit, because it's habits.
Yeah.
Kicks in and you cycle back through and you go, it's this vicious cycle if you don't learn to break it. And that's where the medical professional help comes in.
And, you know, I think there's a big point to all this is, you know, if you stop this habit of making bad decisions with money. And I guess that's generalized, right? It's hard to just say. But, you know, say it's maybe it's buying a lottery ticket or spending $20 every other day on lottery tickets or something. You know, maybe it's just making the decisions to stop spending money or risking money, I guess is a better way to put it. You know, maybe it's that you, go binge shopping on Amazon or something, you know, instead of going down those spiraling down those where you're spending your money, I guess, with wild abandon, you know,
you want to like stop yourself, break that habit, maybe redirect it. Like we were talking about lottery tickets, you spend $20 on lottery tickets. Like, why not take that $20 and invest it in something?
Yeah.
And I mean, you're still gambling,
you know, and not to seem like we're, you know, bidding for something, but there are plenty of resources that even you can download on your phone that are retail, you know, level, which is what that would be retail level investing, you know, and I'm not going to go into the specifics of like apps and things like that, but, you know, that goes into stock markets, that goes into cryptocurrencies. There's so many resources that you can use. And, you know, obviously that's just as risky, right? But if you buy stock, is it as risky as taking 328 million to one odds on a lottery ticket? Right,
exactly. It's risky. It's still the gamble. But I think it's worth the gamble more so than buying the lottery tickets. And like the Amazon shopping and whatnot, that's really hard. It's really hard to curb that urge to buy. And I know I do. Like a lot of times I put things on my wish list and that satisfies me just as much. I know not everybody can do that. So it's if you can find something to redirect that, if you feel that urge coming on, I don't know, take a walk, do a craft, watch a movie, read a book, something, or meditate, or whatever it is, just try to redirect your thoughts. I mean, it's like you're working with toddlers, you know, when they want, they're screaming and crying. Well, if you show them something else shiny and gets their attention, they're redirected. They're totally forget about what they were crying about. And it's, we got to do that with our own brains. We got to redirect ourselves.
And, you know, and that's a big part of it is controlling and, you know, sometimes manipulating your own brain, you know. So there are a couple of tips that this list had of, you know, dealing with financial stress. And I think these are all things that we've kind of employed to a certain extent. You know, so talk to someone. Just talking to maybe, you know, maybe it isn't that you need to go talk to your friend. Maybe it isn't that you, you know, I'd recommend you talk to your significant other. But if that's not the solution, then finding somebody, maybe it is a professional consultant, you know.
Oh, I highly recommend. And who was it? Talking to Echo about this? So she's saying how somebody needed therapy. I said, honey, everybody needs therapy.
And you know, there's resources where maybe you don't need to talk to somebody, maybe you just need to extend your education, right? There are plenty of resources online, YouTube, podcasts, you know, audiobooks, where you can learn better financial habits. And that, I'd say, would fall into the talking to somebody category, because if you're listening to somebody like Dave Ramsey, who, you know, is renowned for his
financial
expertise, then you know, if you can even pick up a part of what he's explaining, picking up what he's putting down, then, you know, you might be able to better your financial situation, even if it's long-term betterment, right? If it's not, if it doesn't fix it today, but, you know, 6 months, a year, 3 years from now, you've got a plan and you can work towards that.
And you said something there that's really important. You can't fix your financial problems in one day.
No, absolutely not.
As much as we would love to. Fixing your financial problems starts with the small steps. And it is a long journey. It's not a quick thing. So you have to remember that. So even in your long journey, you're going to have those skips or those trips. It happens. And the important thing is you remember that and you get up. You don't beat yourself up for falling off the track.
Nope.
You know, it happens to everybody, but you get back on and you just keep on going.
Yep.
So,
and that's absolutely correct. Is all, anything to better, to change that situation is an investment now in a long-term solution, you know?
Exactly.
So, Again, the person you talk to doesn't have to be able to fix your problems or even offer financial help. Just mm-hmm. somebody that you can talk to is fine, you know.
Yeah, maybe, a soundboard is great.
Yeah. Maybe you could, and if you're stuck in quarantine, you could draw like an outline in makeup on your mirror and then talk to that
make
person.
Make your own Wilson.
Yeah. Or paint somebody on the wall.
Or you could do Zoom or calls.
You could go to Amazon. Here's perfect financial advice. Go to Amazon, buy a cardboard cutout of a person, put it up in your room or your house, and then talk to that person. They won't be able to talk back, but you've...
Sounds like a perfect husband.
You've checked off the...
No, it's whatever you need. You need to talk to somebody. It's good to talk to somebody just to even get out what's in your head.
And being honest.
Yes.
About it.
Yes.
Don't, you know, I think we as a culture need to stop sugarcoating the things that are painful, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, the reality is...
We need to get real.
The reality is that sometimes things need to hurt in order for you to get better.
I fully, fully agree with that.
And in this situation, if you're honest about you having really bad habits and being financial... then you can find a way to get better.
Exactly. About it. There's no way you're going to get better if you're not honest and truthful.
Because you can't say, oh, I'm a financial wizard and I buy a lottery ticket every other day.
Well.
No.
No.
It doesn't work that way. Because people that buy lottery tickets or people that are financial wizards aren't buying lottery tickets. That's the fact.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
And not to condemn anybody that buys lottery tickets. You want to spend your money however you want, go right ahead. I'm not saying you're
made bad decisions.
Like,
if that's your reward, for but, doing something, like following the rules, and you're like, okay.
You have to be honest about that and saying that, yes, I do make this conscious decision to buy a lottery ticket, and I understand that it is a lot of risk, and there's probably very little to no reward that I'm going to get back.
But like, say your habit was being... paying $20 every week.
It's better than doing crack.
It is. Right? But so. I'm saying if you reward yourself, you're doing these steps, you can say, hey, every 2 weeks, I'm going to take $5 and that will be my lottery ticket. And so you're not giving it up completely, but you're having more control over it.
Just be responsible.
Yeah, you're having more control over it.
And so getting professional advice, while it may be something you have to pay for professional advice.
Unfortunately, a lot of
you
do.
Usually you can go to... you know, financial advisors and you can sit down and discuss options for you. And
well, I know like
if they say like, look, your financial situation is a mess. Here's what we could do. And you can't, it's not something you can do. At least you know, might be able to garner things out of what is actually a mess.
Well, and
you
look
know?
In your community, because I know there are a lot of community resources like the United Way had free financial consulting, and you never know what your community is going to offer you. So definitely check there if you can't really afford.
And that's the other thing is public resources versus professional resources.
Mm-hmm.
Your town, your city, your local government might offer you some. And, you know, for those of you that are religious, some local churches, some church organizations offer resources in this regard. You know, and again, being honest, being brave enough to talk about the problems.
That's the first step, I think. It's the hardest and the most needed step. Yeah.
So. And one piece of advice was to talk to your family, for their input. While you may not take that as like perfect advice to fix your situation, if there's a concern or if they're worried that something's going to adversely affect your financial situation, they'll tell you because they're family.
Exactly.
And so if you have an idea, hey, I'm going to go invest, like if I came up to Whiskey and say, oh, I'm going to go dump all of my money into Bitcoin. Exactly. So now.
I am not a risker.
You know, so there's definitely a certain level of risk that we can and should take, but. It's, you know, sometimes you think your idea is genius, and then when you talk to somebody, even just saying it out loud, you're like, oh, that's a dumb idea.
Oh, that was bad. Yeah.
You know, you can always find inexpensive ways to have fun and express yourself and, you know.
Oh, yeah. I got a quick shout out here then.
Yeah.
If you follow Fun, Cheap, or Free, she's on Facebook. It's Jordan Page. She's on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube. She is the queen of finding free, cheap entertainment.
Yeah.
I mean, she's got lists of ideas to do with kids. I mean, she's got like 10 million kids. So she knows how to, you know, work with big families and still find those date nights and without spending money. I mean, she has the whole month of September. She calls it self-temper, and you just cook everything in your kitchen. You do not shop unless it's like essentials.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't go shopping. You don't go out to eat. You eat everything in your cupboards and then you replenish. And she's brilliant. So, I mean, check that out if you need another good resource. She also has the budget boot camp that helps too. So if Dave Ramsey doesn't work out for you, check her out.
Oh, that's awesome. So tip two is to take inventory of your finances. A big takeaway from these is to include every source of income. So if you, you know, if you work a job and you drive Uber and you, you know, maybe you sell stickers on the side
or cutting
every
boards.
Once in a while, or every once in a while, somebody asks you to, you know, write a poem for $20 or whatever, right?
Something.
You know, track all of your income, but also track all of your spending because it's easy to look at your bank account and be like, oh, I've got so much money in my bank account and then go shopping and be like, where the hell did all my money go?
Right.
You know?
Oh, right.
And, you know, and sometimes it's just that you've gone to the store to pick up a tub of sour cream and now it's a $60 shopping trip, you know?
Oh yeah. We're the king and queen of that one.
And so being mindful of that spending is a lifesaver because
it really can get
away from you.
You can nickel and dime yourself to death.
Oh yeah.
I mean, look at your subscriptions. What subscriptions are you currently not even aware that you're still paying for?
Do you subscribe to Netflix? When was the last time you watched it?
Today.
Do you subscribe to, I don't know, HBO? When was the last time you watched that?
Right.
Six months ago.
Right. Well, the thing with cable, we've been talking about this and talking about this. I'm like, finally, we just got to pull that cord because we use our subscriptions more than we use our cable.
Yeah.
But yet we're paying for cable. Like, why?
Yep.
You know, look through these things that you have. You're going to find something back there. Like maybe it's a credit report checker that you're paying for when they've got all these free resources out there that are just as safe now. It's like, why are you still paying for it?
Or maybe you paid for, you know, a Spotify subscription and you don't use Spotify anymore. And you forgot about it. Or maybe you know.
Yeah. You want to look in all the nooks and crannies.
Look at where your money's going.
Yeah. You want to find that.
Identifying spending patterns and triggers, you know, so... Is it 2 o'clock in the morning every Friday and you're buying a waffle makers on Amazon?
Ooh, that sounds like my dream.
You know, maybe if you've done that for the last, you know, 2 months, maybe you've got enough waffle makers for one.
Right.
Maybe you should stop buying waffle makers at 2 a.m.
Well, or just figure out what's your trigger. What's triggering that? And
is it that like on the weekends you don't have anything else to do, so you're spending money? Maybe you go hiking.
Or it's like the eating out. What can you do to do that?
Have you planned meals for 5 days a week or seven days a week? You know?
Or two.
And so listing your debts, you know, and being honest with yourself on these too, you know, credit cards and payments. So car payments, insurance, and all of these things. Listing all of your debts and where your money goes is a big part of that.
And I think listing the interest rates too, so you can see what debts take priority.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And really, you know, and if you don't understand what APR is, then you probably shouldn't have credit cards. But, you know, so understanding how much, you know, if you've got a $300 credit limit and your card's maxed out $300 and you're spending $30 a month on payments, it's not going to get paid off in 10 months.
No.
It's probably not going to get paid off for years.
Right.
Understanding how that system works will make you averse to using credit so much.
Yes, it will.
And
I guess.
So,
I hate credit cards.
You know, we have credit cards.
Yes, like we do.
But they're
necessary
they're
evil.
They're very well managed credit cards.
Yes, they are.
So
extremely.
And I shouldn't. It's not like I'm trying to brag. Like I'm not some credit
hero.
No, because
we went through some credit card
issues. My credit was
trash
for a while. You know.
Yeah, we learned the hard way, and I just said no more to credit cards. But then guess what? You need credit cards for credit.
Yeah.
So we have teeny and tiny ones.
Looking to make small changes, so spending money on things like newspaper, coffee.
Mm-hmm.
Cigarettes.
Try making your coffee at home.
Red Bulls, like three Red Bulls a day, you know.
That's you.
Yeah. But making, you know, being conscious of all those small little chips that are to be
taken.
That's what
I'm saying. Look at those nickel and dimes. Where are they going? Is it necessary?
So maybe it's that instead of buying, I don't know, drive through coffee every day, you start making it from home. Now, I get it, right? It's easier. I wake up every morning at 6 o'clock in the morning and I do not want to make a cup of coffee before I leave for work because I want to just go sit in my truck and, you know, zone out while I go to work.
Right.
But, you know, sometimes it is easier to just get out and not have to deal with that because I'm just, you know, I get ready and I'm trying to leave, you know. Right. But if it's causing you financial stress, you know, you think, well, if you commute 5 days a week, you spend $3 a day on a cup of coffee.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It adds up.
You know, that's, and that's just your morning, right?
Right. What about lunch? What about
so now you're, afternoon bug? What, that's $60 a month on just coffee.
Yep.
And and then maybe it's a breakfast burrito with coffee. So now you're,
or a muffin. You
know, now you're $120 a month. And, you know, that's so all of these things, well, they stack up, you know.
Yeah, it just makes me ill.
So eliminate or at least meter impulse spending.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of seeing, you know, oh, that's a really amazing thing that you just saw in a Facebook ad, buy it.
No.
You know?
This is the
hard one. What I've done, and I think what helps me, is I'll screenshot whatever it is, and then I'll research alternatives other places, you know?
See, and me, I, like the other day, we went to Marshall's and they had all those cute decorations for the holidays, right? And I wanted to buy all of them. But unless I can think in the first like 30 seconds of seeing that, where it's going to go, what I'm going to use it for, I don't buy it.
Well, and that's what, you know, that's kind of my point too, is screenshotting it and then looking at, like, looking at what it, you know, go to, I don't know, Home Depot, right? Or whatever it is, and just see if it's something that you can get there. And then looking and really considering, like, is that something I need, something I want? How can I use it? Where will I use it? When will I use it?
Exactly.
Another thing to be mindful of is to just kind of go easy on yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody makes financial mistakes. Everybody has an issue. Most people will be the day before payday and thinking, you know, I can't wait to get paid tomorrow because I need something, you know. Right? And so don't beat yourself up over it, you know.
It's human nature.
It's life.
It is. It is what it is. Don't beat yourself up so you can stay positive, so you can stay on that track. If you beat yourself up, you're going to fall off that track and it's going to get 10 times worse.
Yeah, precisely.
It's just kind of like the same thing of, you can't avoid the bills. Don't avoid them. Pay them. Because if you avoid them, they just get bigger.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've ever noticed that, but they have this magical way of getting bigger every time you ignore them.
They do.
There's the late fees. There's the interest. There's,
And that's, you know, and that's the thing is, you know, if you've ever had a return check or a returned, you know, charge on your checking account, now all of a sudden you've got a $30 charge in your checking account and you still have to pay your bill, you know? And so it's, it, you know, it, it can grow exponentially.
It gets scary.
So tip three is to make a plan and stick to it. So this doesn't have to necessarily be your budget, but make a plan to help yourself, you know, so identify your financial problems, devise a solution to whatever those problems are, and put your plan into action. And this is a strategy that is employed every day, all day long, all around the world in business, and it's a problem solving solution, you know. So you figure out what the problem is, and you know, now that you understand the inventory of your finances, you can identify if your problem is that you have $300,000 in credit card debt, or if you have, I don't know,
that's a scary amount.
if you've misplaced the key to your bank vault full of gold bars or whatever it is,
or if you lost your Bitcoin wallet, Charlie.
So, in my defense, that was long before Bitcoin was even worth anything.
It was probably still.
And it's, and the total of it would be worth would be like $48
right maybe now. Maybe $100. So, we wouldn't be the millionaires on Bitcoin.
But, you know, identify what your problem is. Why do you feel anxious? What's the cause of that? Why do you feel depressed when you look at your bank account? Like, you know,
well, don't just make a plan.
And, you know, and make a plan and devise a solution. And the reality is, you know, and I think if you're, you know, if you look at your bank account, you get depressed, and I don't mean to laugh, like it's just, but if you
because we've been there.
Yeah, but if you do look at your bank account and get depressed, you know, I think of one important thing, and we are trying to stand on this principle right now, is that you don't need a job, while it helps to get paid, you don't need a job to make money. Everybody has a talent. Everybody has something they can do. And, you know, maybe it is that you're just an a-hole, right? Market that. Find a way to, you know,
find a way to market.
Make a Twitter account where you're just an a-hole or you're funny, you know, or
no, it's true.
Make a YouTube channel, you know,
there's just different avenues that you can find. I mean, granted, you're not going to become a millionaire overnight, but if you put forth the effort and the work and the dedication to it, it will pay off eventually. Yep.
And that's the thing is, you know, find ways that you can use your talents to grow your financial success, you know, and if that's part of your solution to not having money, put it into action.
Exactly.
You know, find a way. Start. Right. Do it.
Do it.
You know, I mean, we started a woodworking business with almost no money and no job to support us, you know. And while we've seen, you know, a reasonable level of success to this point, it isn't like we're, you know, I'm not making money off of the woodworking business. I'm just making woodworking stuff trying to sell it. You
right,
know?
Exactly.
So,
right.
You know, but the point is that, the point is that that's our plan. That's our solution to the problem is that we want to create a business that stands on its own two legs.
Exactly.
And we're at the point now where we've created it and now I just need to keep kicking it until it stands up, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I'm going to do. Kick it.
I know. I kick you, so you kick it.
So, but putting it into action, whatever your plan is the most important part. Monitor your progress and hold yourself accountable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you say, well, I want to do this by this time period and you don't, then, you know, you have to hold yourself accountable for it. You can't just do, oh, it was my plan. It's okay. I'm not worried about it. Right. No, punish yourself. I mean, not like.
I think of Paul Bettany and was it the Da Vinci Code?
Yeah.
No, don't
you know,
do that. Don't.
Now, we're not talking about beating yourself with a leather whip, you know, but but like hold yourself accountable, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe it's that you were going to go out with friends on this weekend and you've realized today that, oh, well, I've failed to accomplish that goal. Well, maybe you should hold yourself accountable and not go out with your friends.
Or just don't spend money when you go out with friends.
Yeah. And I mean, it's, you know, you have to have a consequence for.
Maybe it's you don't get the drink, the extra treat or the something, you know.
And, you know, punish yourself. That's.
But don't be too hard on yourself.
Don't be too hard on yourself, but punish yourself. No, just, no, and by punish yourself, I just mean, you know, there should be an accountability aspect.
There should be.
And you should hold yourself to that. Be the responsible, mature adult and hold yourself accountable. You know, there's you don't do something, you don't get something.
Right.
Don't get derailed by setbacks. And that's the most important part, I think, is if the moment you realize, oh, I've fell short. Well, stand up and set the next goal and
suffer the
consequence, get to it, you know.
Get over it. Yeah.
And that's, you know, those are two big things, I think. People aren't hard enough on themselves, so they don't hold themselves accountable to actually accomplish their goal.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a difference between being hard enough on yourself that you're responsible.
Disciplined versus.
Yeah, there's discipline versus. And
crazy Paul Bettany and Da Vinci Code.
Yeah, discipline versus self-abuse. But, you know, but don't you can't sit there and say, oh, well, I'm an idiot because I can't figure out finances.
No, you can't.
That's not productive, you know.
No.
But if you say, look, I realize where my mistake was and, well, my consequence is that I don't get that new bike or I don't get, you know, I have to wait 3 more months to upgrade my car or whatever
it is.
You can't just not have a, you know, you can't have inaction and then provide yourself with the reward anyway.
Exactly.
And that is a big problem, I think, a lot of people face.
Well, because that continues the cycle, the poor cycle. You just go right back to it.
Yep. And setbacks are the other side of that where, you know, don't give up just because you've made a mistake, right?
No.
You can't quit.
You get up, you fix it, and you
I mean,
get
you could quit, but it's just like, why even put the effort in the first place?
Exactly. You quit. You're just going back to that cycle. We want to break the cycle.
Yep. And then creating a monthly budget. Now, these words are the bane of my existence. I swear. I hate budgeting. For myself.
I hate budgeting.
I love budgeting for my job.
Well, yeah, because that's different. But no, for us, it's just... I hate numbers.
Well, I just like, always fall into that cycle of, I know where the money's going. Why do I need to write it down?
Mm-hmm. No, you do. Believe you me, do. You do.
Because trust me, the day when you look at that number at the bottom and you're like, oh, well, here's all my income and here's all my outgoing. And those numbers are either, well, one's higher than the other, mm-hmm. or they're even.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you got a problem on one side. Mm-hmm. Unless your income is significantly higher than your outgoing, there's an issue,
yeah.
you know. And I should say, if your income is even with your outgoing, well, good job. But you need to find a way to either to probably reduce your outgoing or find a way to leverage yourself and create more income.
Right. You want to always live below your means.
Yeah.
You don't want to live above your means. You don't want to live in your means. You want to live below your means.
Yeah, and if you're the type of person that's, you know, using multiple credit cards and paying credit cards with credit cards and
that's
you know,
dangerous, yeah.
Yeah, you're playing with fire. And that's the thing is, you know,
you're more disciplined than I.
Hopefully. Just God, we couldn't do that.
No. No, no, no.
So include everyday expenses in your budget, you know. This is the part that's frustrating to me about budgets is they always put like categories like clothes.
I don't buy clothes daily or weekly.
Yeah. Like I don't even buy clothes monthly.
No, it's like, okay, it's a birthday. So I'm going to buy her clothes or it's their birthday. They get a bunch of clothes or it's Christmas. They get clothes.
Or it's like in between. Hey, I'm going out of town to, you know, for the business trip. I'm going to Fargo, North Dakota, and I need some, you know, warm clothes. Right. So I buy some warm clothes.
But that's what I'm saying. We buy clothes like so. I mean, we don't buy clothes all the time. I know that people are different. I know there are lots
some people
that
buy clothes
all the time,
like weekly. You know.
I know. I think my sister's like that. She loves her clothes.
And if that's
and that works for her,
you know, if you can budget that way, budget that way.
Exactly. Me, I'm like, who does that?
So try to factor in unexpected expenses, you know, so some, you know, like you don't change your car's oil every month.
No.
But, you know, you've got to account for sometime in the next 5-6 months, you're going to have to spend the $200 or whatever to mm-hmm. maintain your car. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so be sure to account for things like that.
Oh, yeah. You want to, I think the goal or the main focus is, and this is a Dave Ramsey thing, but I've heard it from multiple financial people, is you want to budget to zero. You want to make sure you budget your income so it just leaves you zero. But in that zero, make sure you're taking care of yourself.
Well,
you're putting stuff away for savings. You're putting stuff away for emergencies. Plus, you're accounting for your clothes, your gas.
And that was where the, you know, his principles were that. Like,
yeah.
To have, you know, like your emergency $1,000, right? But
15, yeah.
Or whatever it was. Yeah. And then to have, you know, so much of your, like, monthly income. You know, so you have like 10%, three times your, no, yourself. It was like 3 times your monthly income set aside.
Oh,
right?
yeah. That's what you want.
Is your end goal. And then mm-hmm. you'd have like, you take 10% and put it in, you know, a side account mm-hmm. for emergency spending, whatever, you know. And then you have like, so he has this whole map drawn out, you know.
Yes, he does.
And the reality is it's a good program. We mm-hmm. did it for a while and it helped really well.
Yeah,
and
it did.
And then we abandoned it and it's
because we're on that cycle again.
And, you know, so just be mindful of your mm-hmm. budget. You know, really focus on where your money goes. And then overall stress is a big factor. You know, sometimes financial stress can cause problems, but sometimes stress can cause financial problems. Mm-hmm.
Oh, I know that for me. I know.
You know, if you're stressed about, mm-hmm. Health concerns right now, or mm-hmm. if you're stressed about vacation, or if you're stressed about not having a vacation,
mm-hmm.
or if you're stressed about the holidays, or if you're stressed about, I don't know, whatever it could be, you know, then there's a high probability or possibility mm-hmm. that your response to that is to lose focus on finances.
Yeah. Oh, I know. I know that, like when I had postpartum depression with Tango, I completely stopped paying bills.
Yeah.
Because I could not focus. I didn't want to focus. I didn't want to do anything. So I stopped paying bills.
And that's when I started paying bills.
Well, that was, we flip-flop back and forth. But yeah, but no, it's true. So keep your mental health in check. You know, work it out. If something's stressing you out, figure out what it is. Face it. Let's work through it so we don't mess up the other aspects of our life and make it 10 times worse than it already is.
So, overall, I think the last final points are just kind of general mental health stuff. So get moving. So just go for a walk, move around, you know, walk the dog, whatever it is. Relax.
Yeah, if you can. I don't know how.
So some people, like Whiskey, can't relax. But, you know, maybe it's take a warm bath. Maybe it's, sit on the couch and enjoy the silence, you know. Like for me, that's extremely valuable.
Right.
Just to be able to just
find something to turn your brain off for a minute, get lost in a book, whatever it is.
Sleep, get plenty of sleep, boost your self-esteem. So back to the bathroom mirror, look in that mirror and tell yourself that you are an amazing person.
Yes, you are.
Eat healthy food, even though it may taste
not as good. Yeah, that's
but how I feel. It's better for you. And then be grateful for good things in your life. So
count your blessings. Count that's your my blessings. Favorite. It's a song from White Christmas with Bing Crosby and Rosemary Clooney. But no, you count your blessings. You count the things that you're grateful for in life, and it will make your bad day a little bit better.
Yep. So we want to give a huge shout out to all of you that have listened, even if it's only like two people, we still think that you're awesome. We are really happy to have made it this far, 30 episodes into our podcast that had the direction of mental health was really the only thing we really knew we were going to talk about. And so, you know, I guess now that we're this far, I'd like to throw a little plug in and say, if you know anybody that you think might benefit or would enjoy listening to our podcast of
our rambles,
moderately focused on mental health, then share it. You know, we're on Spotify, we're on Apple Music,
we're on the platforms. We're on
so many platforms. I've said taken so much time to set all those up.
We're on the Tic Tacs now.
We're on the TikToks, the Tic Tacs, and the Snapograms. No, we've got, you know, we do our woodworking, and so we've just started a TikTok to kind of highlight some of the boards we're making, Instagram to do all this stuff, but really, you know, at the core, we just want our message to be able to help people. And if you know somebody that might benefit from our podcast, feel free to share it. You know, we're enjoying making this, and we hope that any of you are enjoying listening to it. Yeah, so
that's the hope anyways.
As always, if you ever need to talk, or if you have an idea, or if you have a suggestion, you can reach us at charlie@whiskeyandcharlie.com
or
whiskey@whiskeyandcharlie.com. Have a great day. Go find your Yeti.
Yep.
If you'd like to hear more of our episodes, please check out our website at whiskeyandcharlie.com. You can also find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. If you'd like to hear us speak about a certain topic or subject, please feel free to contact us through our website, and you can look forward to hearing new episodes Mondays and Thursdays. Thank you. Hey everyone, remember that Whiskey and I are not medical professionals. We're not aiming to offer you any medical advice. We're here to entertain, and if you do need any medical help, please seek it out from a medical professional. Thank you, and go find your Yeti.